You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Two interesting verses from the life of David. 1 Samuel 17:33. "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win." No way. Somebody say, no way. 2 Samuel 5:6. "David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, 'You're never gonna get in here. Even the blind and the lame could keep you out.'" Don't be ridiculous. No way. You're never gonna do it. So on multiple occasions, David was told he couldn't do it. It was impossible. It's not gonna happen. And yet it happened. David was anointed to prove hell wrong. And just like David was anointed to prove hell wrong, you are anointed to prove hell wrong. Anointed to prove hell wrong by issuing a bold declaration. And that declaration, by the grace of Jesus, in the context of the finished work of Christ, watch me. Ridiculous. There's no way. You're never going to get in. Just like David prior to his greatest victories, these declarations saturate, inundate, and captivate our current reality. We're living in a day and age where everything around us is telling us it's impossible. Ridiculous. It's never going to happen. Without a doubt, every single day we confront a constant bombardment of negativity, of toxic atmospheres, adversity, conflicts, delusional dynamics that include ideologies, social constructs, principalities, and powers of darkness, with one objective: to convince you and your familia that it cannot be done, that you will never defeat the giants in your generation. You will never occupy the promises. You will never conquer new territories. No way, never. Ha ha. But when you have faith, when you have faith, I said, when you have faith, when you have faith, when you step into every chapter and season of your life with the certainty of 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith and not by, when you live with the sacred algorithm of Romans 10:17, that faith cometh from hearing the good news about Christ. When you stand empowered with the promise of Matthew 21:22, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. When you walk and talk, live and give and forgive with that faith. See, in Kingdom City, y'all don't have religious faith. Y'all don't have this nominal, superficial, self-induced, spaghetti on the wall kind of faith. You, Kingdom City, are cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. Because the faith you have is crazy. You have the faith, not just the faith in Christ, you have the faith of Christ. What kind of faith do you have? You have that mountain-moving, devil-rebuking, demon-binding, atmosphere-shifting, captive-freeing, family-saving, supernatural, overflow-inducing, truth-exalting, light-exposing, chain-breaking, door-opening. You have that "my cup runneth over" kind of faith. And when you have that faith, you can stand up like David did through his actions. You can rise up like David did through his accomplishments. You can speak up like David did through his psalms and his writings. And because you are crucified with Christ, and now it is Christ living in you, Galatians 2:20. Because you abide in his word and his word abides in you, John 15:7. Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then you have the authority, the faith, and the power to formally respond. So to all the naysayers, to all detractors, to all haters and negative, contrary, adversarial voices, internal and external, that have the audacity to tell you and your family that you will never overcome your giants, that you will never occupy your Jerusalem, that you will never live an abundant life, that you will never live right with God, that you will never see your family saved, that we will never see your body completely healed, that you will never conquer your dream and possess the promise, that you will never change the world. I dare you on this Sunday to just open up your mouth and by faith. by faith in the name of Jesus. I dare you to say, in the name of Jesus, watch me. Somebody shout, watch me. Watch me overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Watch me conquer the mountain and possess the promise. Watch me live life abundantly. Watch me glorify and magnify Jesus like never before. Watch me and my house serve the Lord. Watch me go from glory to glory. Watch me and be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Watch me live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. Watch me, for all of creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. We're going to prove our detractors wrong. We are going to prove our detractors wrong. We are anointed to prove hell wrong. The enemy is saying, you can't take that city. We will see that city saved. The enemy is saying, your children will never be saved. Not only will they be saved, they will be delivered. They will be healed. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they will prophesy and cast out demons and legions. And they will fulfill their God-ordained destiny. Somebody say, watch me. You are anointed to prove hell wrong with fresh oil. David proved hell wrong because of the anointing. David proved hell wrong because in every major season of his life, he received fresh oil. David was anointed 3 times. Let me substantiate that. 1 Samuel 16:13. David stood there amongst his brother Samuel. What a great name, Samuel. Samuel took the flask of oil. He brought an anointed David of the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. He was anointed. 2 Samuel 2:4. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. 2 Samuel 5:3, there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord of all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. In Psalm 92, verse 10, David said, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Anointing, somebody say anointing. The anointing of assignment. The anointing of acceptance, the anointing of advancement. When all three of them come together, you are anointed to prove hell wrong. We are anointed. You're not just, you are anointed. This conference that we just came out of, we received an anointing. And the leaders received an anointing. And now all the people, every connect group, everyone who's on Greenhouse, you are all going to receive that fresh oil anointing. And the anointing changes everything. I need to clarify here. What is the anointing? The anointing is heaven's authority upon your divine assignment. The anointing is God's power to fulfill his purpose. The anointing is God's presence that enables you to occupy his promises. The anointing is God's super over your natural, enabling you to experience the supernatural. The anointing is when the grace, the gift, and the glory of God inside of you come together, empowering you to change the world in front of you. Mark 6:13, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. James 5:14, if anyone is sick, let them call the elders of the church to anoint them. From Genesis to Revelation, we discover anointed people do what others will not do. Anointed people do what others cannot do. Anointed people do not whine. Anointed people worship. Anointed people do not focus on the darkness. Anointed people turn on the light. Anointed people do not make excuses. Anointed people make history. Under the anointing, we do what others cannot do. Under the anointing, we shout down walls. Under the anointing, we bring down giants. Under the anointing, we pray down fire. Under the anointing, we cast out devils and demons. Under the anointing, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. Under the anointing, we speak truth with love. Under the anointing, we pursue righteousness. Under the anointing, we don't tell our children to pray. We show them how to pray. Under the anointing, we do justice, we love mercy, and we walk humbly before God. I'm not going to be presumptuous. Let me ask, are there any anointed people here in Malaysia here on this? If you're anointed, raise your hand, repeat after me. I am saved. I am delivered. I am I am healed. I am chosen. And I am, by the grace of God, anointed. Somebody shout like you're anointed and praise like you're anointed. Somebody worship like you're anointed. Your family is anointed. I said your family is anointed. Your children and your children's children and your children's 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 children will be anointed. We are anointed, anointed, anointed. I've been anointed. You receive the anointing, the Holy Spirit who lives. Hey, I need to show you something. Jason, come up here real quick, because the anointing, David was, he proved hell wrong because he was anointed. He received fresh oil in every major season of his life. So I need to show you, because that anointing for us in our context, through the vicarious, atoning, finished work of Christ. In the Old Testament, the anointing. Anyone else want to receive the anointing? In the Old Testament, it wasn't like a dab. It wasn't like, ooh, little droppy. Oh, by the way, we don't need Christians with a little drop of anointing. We have too many people with a dab. We don't need a dab. We don't get a little dab of the Holy Spirit. You want all of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to be touched by the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me right now? So in the Old Testament, it was poured out. But let me, you have a vial of oil. Let me have that. Let me see that. Because it's this, some oil here. Here, take this oil and drink it. Drink it. And there it is. In the New Testament, when Jesus died, shed his blood, when he resurrected, when he ascended, when he sent the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, praise God from what happened in the Old Testament. But Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. What does that mean? We're no longer anointed from the outside in. You're not anointed from the outside in. Hey, Malaysia, you're not anointed from the outside in. You are anointed from the inside. You have received the anointing who is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Somebody praise like you're anointed. And because you are anointed, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because you are anointed, out of your belly shall flow rivers of. You are anointed, you are anointed, you are anointed. That anointing is dangerous. That anointing changes absolutely everything. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. It is that anointing. And one little sidebar on the anointing. When David first received that anointing, he received his anointing in private. Not publicly. The second anointing was public. The third anointing was public. The first one was private. David received his first anointing and served the king and his brothers. Yeah, he received his anointing in the presence of his family members. Yeah, and then when he received it, God, it wasn't time yet. He was anointed to be king, but he had to wait to be king. In other words, when you're anointed to prove hell wrong, God anoints the private you before he anoints the public you. He anoints you to serve before he anoints you to lead. He anoints you in the presence of those around you before he anoints you in the presence of your enemies. And he anoints you to wait before he anoints you to win. Anointed to prove hell wrong by removing Saul's armor. And Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. David put it on, and then he said, 1 Samuel 17:39, I can't go in these. Too many Christians, too many people in the church find themselves unable to overcome the giants in front of them because they are wearing someone else's armor. You can't fight your giant wearing someone else's anointing. You can't get your breakthrough with someone else's praise. You cannot fulfill your purpose with someone else's promise. You cannot live out your destiny with someone else's identity. You have to wear your own armor. You have to wear your own armor. Saul, he attempted to place upon David his armor. But what would be the motivating factor? We know from 1 Samuel chapter 15 that King Saul was a narcissist, a self-induced, inflated egomaniac of an individual who was rebellious against God's will because everything he did for his own glory. Therefore, it is easy for us to embrace the supposition that the reason why Saul wanted David to wear his armor, just in case David would have a victory, people would then say that the reason why David got the victory was because he was wearing Saul's armor. He wanted the glory. He wanted the glory. How many of y'all know in this place that the only one that gets the glory is the one who died on the cross and resurrected? God will make circumstances take place in your life where at the end of the day, you have to remove what people put upon you out of alignment with the word and the will of God upon your life. So on you, there's no such thing as a multi-generational curse. That curse was broken on the cross in the name of Jesus. Whatever was on you from your back, for whatever it may be, whatever has been placed upon you has been removed through the finished work of Christ. Before you defeat Goliath, you have to say no to Saul. You have to say no to Saul and what he represents. You have to speak up. You're anointed to prove hell wrong by the words that come out of your mouth. You have to speak up. I recently lived this out. At the end of October last year, about October, November, we had a series at church about the Shunammite woman, and we illustrated an open door. My wife and I went through it, and right immediately, we got a call from a prominent ministry in California. Pastor Sam, our ministry did not recover from COVID. We have 80 acres of property. We have three auditoriums, one that fits over 3,000. The other one fits over 1,000. And the third one about 300, all on the same campus. We just retrofitted everything and did deferred maintenance on everything. The property worth about close to between 75 and 80 million US dollars. And we were not making it. Would you be interested in coming in and taking over our ministry? An incredible amount of debt that coincided with it. But we were interested because we were in desperate need of a building. And so we went like, let's have the conversation. We went through preliminary conversations. So we went through about four or five different conversations. And finally, the leadership of the church and our leadership said, let's do it. Let's formalize this. So we scheduled the first formal meeting between my board and their board. We debriefed prior. My team debriefed. We went to a certain coffee establishment beforehand. So we went to Starbucks. And I had my almond milk latte. And we debriefed. And we said, what are you possibly gonna ask? This is the formal meeting. We go through this, we sign an MOU, and then we make this happen. All right, so we talked about integration of systems. We talked about attrition. We talked about whether fiduciary governance. We talked about whether or not they're gonna bring up services like Slavic, Spanish, English, and so forth, and different hypothetical scenarios. So we were ready. I was poised, had it all memorized, went in there, go in there. First formal meeting, this is it. We land this, we sign an MOU, boom. This is our dream come true regarding a building. So we walked in and I sat down right here. My board was here and we were looking and I was caffeinated again, so I was wired. And so they were there, and then this just happened just like this. Pastor Sam, we have the first question for you. First question, this is for me, first question. So I'm looking and I'm going, I'm thinking, all right, they're probably gonna ask me, why do I preach so fast? Why am I so loud? Questions that are legitimate, by the way, should be asked by someone. So I'm going, okay. The guy looks at me, he looks at me and says, Pastor Sam, our church, politically, culturally, theologically, otherwise, our church leans left. Where do you lean? I'm gonna show you my response. This is my face. Because I'm a comedian. The first thing that came to my mind was not prophetic. It wasn't like God gave me a word. The first thing that went through my mind was, I have enough jokes here for the next 3 years. This can't be happening. Like, I'm going, there's no way this is real. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? This can't be happening. The guy looks at me and says, Pastor Sam, our church, we lean left. Where do you lean? So I look. And then the next thing that happened is both a sign and a wonder. Nothing came out of my mouth. For the next minute, nothing came out of my mouth, which is both a sign and a wonder. And I'm just looking like this, going like, my team is going like, say something. Like, see. And I'm here, and I'm going like, we lead you. And then the Holy Spirit is saying, Sammy, respond. I didn't want to. Because if I would respond what the Holy Spirit is telling me to respond, we're never going to get the building. And the Holy Spirit says, Sam, say it. And I'm going like, but the Holy Spirit always wins. So I put my head up like this. And I went, well, sir, thank you for your question. At our church, New Season, we don't lean. We stand. We stand. We stand on the Word of God. We stand on the promises of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. Whatever the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we call sin. Hey, Malaysia, we don't need Christians that lean left or lean right. We need a church that stands. Are there any standing believers in the house? Stand. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. Stand up for love. Stand up for grace. Stand up for mercy. Stand. Lift up your hands. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Stand firm in the faith. Ephesians 6. After you've done everything, stand. We don't lean, we. We don't lean, we. We don't lean, we. Kingdom City, you're not a ministry or a church movement that leans. You stand in the mighty name of Jesus. You stand by the blood of the Lamb. You stand by the power of the Holy Spirit. You stand under the anointing of Almighty God. Somebody shout like you're standing in praise. We don't lean, we. We don't lean, we. We don't lean, we. And by the way, don't just stand in the conference. Don't just stand in the church service. Stand everywhere you go. Stand. 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 Lift up your hands. Stand with me. You are standing. We don't lean. We. David's first major victory was not what you think. It wasn't defeating Goliath. It was saying no to Saul. It was rejecting Saul's armor. It was speaking up and saying no. And he did it again. Saul doubled down and went, look, you really can't do this, man. You have no testimony. You don't have a history. You can't fight that giant. You've never fought anything. And David says, what? David says, I fought against a bear and I fought against a lion. Let me paraphrase this in 2023 lexicon, the scriptures. Dude, you don't know me. You think you know me because of my Facebook account. You think you know me because of what you see on my Instagram page. You think you know me because of what I put on Twitter, but you don't know me. You don't know the private battles I had to fight. You don't know the devils I had to rebuke. You don't know the legions I had to cast out. You don't know the nights I had to pray through until God set me free. You don't know me. I fought the bear and I fought the lion and I'm still standing. As you stand with me. We don't lean, we. You're anointed to prove hell wrong. Ooh, by living life with more than one stone. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in the shepherd's bag. How many did he pick up? Why? Why did he pick up 5? If he was so certain that God was with him, why not just 1? Why 5? I love that because preachers, beautiful, with great hearts and intentions, they've really maxed this out. He picked up 5 stones because it was a prophetic foreshadowing of the 5-fold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He picked up 5 stones because Goliath had brothers, Paco, Billy McGillicuddy, Larry, Leroy. You know why he picked up 5? I'm gonna give it to you. You're never gonna have to ask again. Come on. Ready?
Yeah.
Because he did. Woo! That's it. Any questions? No, I don't know if you get that. He picked the 5 because he did. In other words, I'm not a one stone believer. I'm not a one stone Christian. I just don't have one stone for one giant. I have a stone for every giant that comes against me and my family and my children and my children's children. For every giant that comes against you, you have a stone to bring him down. For every giant that comes against your family, against your children, or your children's children, you have a stone that'll bring him. Lift up your hands. We're not one stone Christians. You're not anointed just to knock down one giant. You're anointed to knock down every single giant that comes your way. Can I just declare that giant in your family is coming down? I'm gonna say it one more time. That giant in your family is coming down. I'm gonna do it one more time. That giant in your family is coming down. That giant in your health is coming down. That giant in your generation is coming down. That giant in your finances is coming down. Somebody shout like that giant just came. You have to fight. Lift up your hand like this. 5 stones. Stone number 1, the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. Everything we do in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17, the name of greater things. Stone 2, the word of God. The word of God never fails, Luke 1:37. Stone 3, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus, Revelation 12:11. Stone number 4, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. And stone number 5, every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. It is the faith that overcomes the world. Somebody give God praise, like every giant will come down in your generation. You are anointed to prove hell wrong. And you're anointed not just from the outside in. Through Jesus, you're anointed from the... That anointing, you get fresh oil all the time. And by the way, it's not that you're getting a fresh Holy Spirit. No, it's that the Holy Spirit is doing something new in you, with you, for you, and through you for the glory of God. The moment you remove Saul's armor, the moment you speak up and say no to Saul before you bring down the giant, you're anointed to prove hell wrong, because you're not a one-stone Christian. You have more than one stone in your shepherd's bag. Lift up your hands. If you say, Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, that message is all me. I am anointed to prove hell wrong. If you don't lean and you stand, and you're saying, or if you were leaning and now you're saying, I need to stand. Here's what I'm going to do. We got exactly 4 minutes here. If you say, Pastor Sam, I want to step into this word, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to run out of your seat and join me somewhere here, and I want you to receive that anointing. One, two, three, run up and get it. Somebody! Said you were not going to do. Whatever the enemy said, you were not going to conquer your Jerusalem. You're not going to bring down your giant. You're not going to see your family saved. Whatever it may be, you are anointed to prove hell wrong. Repeat after me. In Jesus' name, I am anointed to prove hell wrong. By the grace of God, because I am crucified with Christ, I can boldly declare, watch me. Today, I remove Saul's armor. Today and forevermore, I don't lean, I stand. Today, I pick up my stones. Every giant will come down. I am anointed for the glory of God to prove hell wrong. In Jesus' name, somebody shout like you receive that anointing.
We will see it come to pass in your name, Jesus.
Anointing. I'm going to recommend you to do something. I know it sounds a little bit old school, archaic, antiquated, but it works. Go back home after this service. Take some oil, anointing oil. Anoint every room in your house. Anoint every room in your house. And if there's someone, a loved one, who doesn't serve Jesus, doesn't serve the Lord, then do it in a very smart way. Take some oil before you greet them. Put it in your hand. Don't even tell them they're going to get anointed. Just greet them and go, hey, great to see you. And go like this. I promise you, every devil, demon, legion, power of darkness will flee under the authority of heaven. The anointing destroys the yoke. If you received this, raise your hand. If you're anointed to prove hell wrong, raise both hands. If you will conquer your Jerusalem and bring down the giants in your generation, lift them up a little bit higher. If you will prove every negative, contrary, adversarial declaration made against you, completely 100% wrong.
Amen.
Give him the final shout of praise for the entire night.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.